Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
A recent survey from the Irish Cancer Society has found that one in three people with symptoms of bowel cancer are putting off a doctor's visit because of concerns over long waiting times in the public system. April is Bowel Cancer Awareness Month, and I'm joined now in the studio by Professor Barbara Ryan, who's consultant gastroenterologist at Tala University Hospital. And Barbara has advice for us on the symptoms and the treatment of bowel cancer. And as I said earlier, if you have any questions for Professor Ryan, do get in touch. 51551 is the text number. You're very welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
Good to see you again.
Yes, thank you.
So will we start with an overview, which might be helpful for people.
Sure.
The different types of cancer in that context, how many patients are diagnosed with bowel cancer every year?
About 2,500 people are diagnosed with bowel cancer in Ireland each year. It's sort of not that there's a ranking of cancer, but the fifth most common cancer diagnosed, I mean, skin cancers, breast, prostate, lung cancer, are a little bit more common, but it is one of the most common cancers. So 2,500 people, a little bit more common in men than women. And about 1 in 15 men will get bowel cancer over their lifetime, and about 1 in 18 women. So it's, you know, it's quite common, and it's very preventable, which I suppose is also a very important message for this month as part of Bowel Cancer Awareness Month.
And we'll come to that in a moment. Age profile then of people who are diagnosed?
I mean, it is, most cancers are associated with getting older, and about 90% of cancers are diagnosed in people over the age of 60. So that's not old. But we do see cancers in younger people. And there is a slightly worrying increase in bowel cancer in younger people in general across the developed world.
We've heard a bit about this, the under 50s.
Right,
And do we know what's behind that?
I mean, it's undoubtedly environmental factors. They all haven't been identified yet, but I know certainly research coming out of the States would suggest some of the artificial sweeteners that are being used, for example, in fizzy drinks. They use a lot of what's called high fructose corn syrup as a sweetener in the States. So it's more than likely dietary and lifestyle factors, increased weight, obesity rates, etc., maybe changes in the gut microbiome. It's all a little bit conjectural at this point, but they must be environmental factors, because our genetics aren't changing that at that rate.
So then you mentioned that it is
preventable
cancer. Will we talk then about the symptoms that people need to be aware of?
Yes, absolutely. And I think also what you opened with that study by the Irish Cancer Society was really concerning, that about a third of people would sort of ignore their symptoms for a period of time just because they're concerned about waiting lists or maybe other concerns as well. So the sort of symptoms, the main one would be a change in your bowel pattern. So maybe going more frequently than you did before, or less frequently, or alternating between the two. So a change is the important thing. And if you are experiencing a change in your bowel pattern, it doesn't mean it's cancer either, but it's important to discuss that with your GP as your first port of call. A change in the appearance of the stool. So sorry about these things, but changes in the shape, or there may be blood in the stools is obviously an important one. Abdominal pain. Sometimes people get a sense when they go to the bathroom and they go have a bowel motion that they don't completely empty. There's still this feeling in the rectum that they haven't completely emptied. Obviously weight loss or something like that. And sometimes it's found in people who have no symptoms at all, which is the importance of the bowel screening program. But maybe somebody might go and have routine bloods done by their GP. They're found to be a little bit anemic, or their iron level is a little bit low. And that might also be a sign of a growth in the bowel, because people can lose little amounts of blood that they don't see. So that's what microscopic or occult blood, which is what it's called. And that's the basis of the National Bowel Screening Program as well, looking for that invisible blood.
So any of those changes, you don't wait, do you? You go.
I mean, you talk to your GP. And, you know, if you're a young person, there are many different reasons why somebody might have those symptoms. It might be irritable bowel. If they're having blood in the stools, the bowel might be inflamed. For many, many people, you know, it isn't bowel cancer. But I think, in older people in particular, a change in bowel pattern is taken, you know, very seriously by a doctor. And very often it would involve a referral, you know, for a colonoscopy perhaps, or to see a gastroenterologist. So I think, I wouldn't ignore these things.
Yeah.
And I think waiting lists, there's always talk about waiting lists in the public health system, but that absolutely should not be a reason for people not to attend their doctor. And, you know, also just so that people know, when a referral goes to a public hospital with a given problem, it doesn't just go into you know, an endless pile that you're at the bottom of the list. You know, all these referrals are looked at by a consultant and they're triaged. So if something, you know, some
an urgency there.
There is. And people are, you know, so, yeah, exactly.
So the BAL screening programme then, how is that working? How willing are people to participate in it?
I think it's a fantastic programme that's been up and running now for 12 years. It's available to people between the ages of 59 and 69, and hopefully in time it'll be expanded to a younger ages as well. They're inviting about 500,000 people per year to take part in that age group, and the uptake is just below 50%. So that's not bad for a screening programme, actually, but it could be a lot better, and we would really like to see everybody who's invited for this, for BAL screen, to take part. It simply involves putting a little bit of stool sample into a container and sending it back in the envelope that's provided.
Be the problem that people have with it, though.
They do have that problem, and you know, in general, people don't like, you know, giving stool samples. As we've done research for in our own hospital, we needed stool samples for different things, and yeah, people, there's a sort of a squeamishness there. But you know, it's not embarrassing. These things shouldn't, you know, they're really helpful, and they shouldn't be a source of embarrassment for people.
And also, that might be a reason why people are delaying going to a GP, because you mentioned a colonoscopy there, and they're not pleasant tests that need to be done.
They're not necessarily unpleasant tests either, actually. That's the other thing. I mean, our scopes have improved, the technology's improved, the scopes are thinner than before. They shouldn't be very, uncomfortable, unpleasant procedures at all. Probably the worst thing is the drink you have to take beforehand. But, you know, I wouldn't, again, let people be put off at being thinking it's a very unpleasant test. It's not the worst at all.
And when you're doing it every day, you guys aren't going to mind what you're seeing.
We definitely don't mind. Yeah. No.
Symptoms then someone might experience if they have late onset BAL cancer, do they differ at all?
They do, in that so late on, when you talk about, when one talks so about late onset bowel or late stage bowel
yeah,
cancer.
Yeah, it's quite late. That's what I mean, late stage. So you mentioned that someone mightn't have any symptoms at all, but the cancer might be developing.
Yes.
So then when we get to the late stage of the cancer, what does that look like?
So a later stage cancer would tend to be bigger. It will have maybe gone through involving more of the wall of the bowel, may have spread to the lymph nodes around the bowel, or may have spread to a distant organ like the liver or the lungs. Obviously cure is very difficult when it gets to that point. But somebody might present with weight loss or abdominal pain, or maybe a palpable mass in their abdomen. And really our aim is to get people to present and get people to be aware of the symptoms so that things are found at a much earlier stage. Because, for example, the BAL screening program, that's looking for invisible blood in stool samples. The patients diagnosed with cancer found under BAL screen, over two-thirds of them have earlier stage disease, as opposed to maybe a third of people who have symptoms. So if you have symptoms, go talk about them. But if you're in an age group to be involved in BAL screen, take part in that. Or, you know, there are other avenues as well. You don't have to wait till you're 59 or 69 to get screened. That's part of the national programme. But if you have in terms of risks for bowel cancer, if you have a family history of bowel cancer, it's very important that you talk to your GP about that, because the accepted wisdom and accepted practice would be that if you have a strong family history or a first degree relative, like a parent or a sibling who have bowel cancer, who've been diagnosed with bowel cancer in the past, that we would generally start screening those people about 10 years younger than the age that their relative was. So if your mum had bowel cancer at 50, well, then you should go to your GP, and ideally we would start screening at the age of 40. And that wouldn't be through the stool samples. That would be through your GP referring you for a colonoscopy. And all the hospitals, you know, take people directly for colonoscopies on that basis as well, because of their family history.
And
so family history is very important.
Prevention then for the general population, is it all down to diet?
You know, it's so boring about our health in general, and I always seem to be saying the same thing. But, you know, some people are unfortunate to inherit a genetic predisposition towards any medical condition. The rest of what we do in terms of our general health is down to our lifestyle. And it's been shown that, you know, carrying extra weight, so being overweight, increases the risk of pretty much all cancers, but particularly digestive cancers. Smoking increases the risk of bowel cancer, excess alcohol, and not taking enough exercise. So if you do all the things we all know we should be doing, then that really reduces our risk. And in terms of diet, saturated fats, so that would be too much red meat. So it's recommended that people would have maybe two portions of red meat per week. And they're actually quite small portions, like 450 milligrams, which is, you know, a very moderate sized steak would be the recommendation for in terms of red meat consumption. Avoid processed meats and avoid ultra processed foods in general, because they are not good for our gut health in general.
Right, so only two small portions of red meat a week.
And plenty of plant-based foods. Eat the rainbow, you know, do what your mum tells you, eat your vegetables. Yeah. You know, all the things we know we should be doing. Yeah.
Now, let's get to some of our questions. So this listener is 56 years old, was diagnosed with bowel cancer only last week. Sorry to hear that.
Yes, indeed.
So this person didn't have any symptoms, just tiredness. They were given a routine blood test by the GP to check iron levels and they were low. She was referred onwards by the GP and it was discovered she has bowel cancer and will need part of that bowel removed. She's only starting on this path but wants to know what percentage of patients successfully get rid of bowel cancer by surgery alone, or how likely is she to need follow-up chemotherapy and radiotherapy? Now, I'm not sure how answer that question.
I think... What I would say is that bowel cancer care is really excellent across the country. If she has been diagnosed, she will be treated in a centre that is very experienced in that. It is very difficult for anybody being diagnosed with cancer. There's an awful lot to digest. The internet is full of figures and percentages and they can be very scary. Generally, when somebody's diagnosed with bowel cancer, obviously the biopsies are taken, then they will need a number of scans, and those scans are done to see, is it just in the bowel? Is it outside the bowel wall? Does it look like the nodes are involved? So there's a very, very accurate staging process is involved. And based on that, and depending on where it is in the bowel, that will determine then whether you go straight for surgery. If it's low in the bowel, in the rectal area, many people will have some chemotherapy and radiotherapy before the surgery. And indeed, there's even some data to suggest that in some cases, surgery may not be necessary. And then once the surgery has taken place, the part of the bowel will be looked at very carefully under the microscope. The lymph nodes will be looked at very carefully. And based on very specific features then, a decision will be made whether or not surgery is sufficient, we're done and dusted, or whether some chemotherapy afterwards will add some additional advantage. And all those things are discussed really carefully, and every hospital will have what's called a multidisciplinary meeting where everybody involved in cancer care will discuss cases like this lady's case and make sure that she gets the best treatment available. So I wouldn't want to give, but
as is the case with many treatment plans, there's a bit of a waiting game, isn't there? Because you have to take one step to see what the next step is.
And I always think that the uncertainty is the most difficult part. And when people, once they know what they need to do, what the plan is, I find that most people are really good. You know, they say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I have to do. But that early stage of waiting around, what is the plan, is really, really difficult. But I would really reassure her that, you know, the care is really excellent. And people will take her individual case very specifically and she will get the best and most appropriate care.
Okay, the next one. Do you need a colonoscopy for diagnosis of bowel cancer, or would an ultrasound suffice?
Ultrasound is absolutely useless. Okay. It would not be good for looking at the bowel at all. So, I mean, a stool sample would be far better. A CT scan we have got CT scans for of the colon. We've got capsules. But ultimately, if there is a question of a growth there, we will want to get a biopsy of it or a sample of it in most cases where possible. So ultimately, a colonoscopy will be warranted in most cases, unless there's a very good reason why it can't be done.
You mentioned the early bowel screening in cases where there's a strong family history. Mm-hmm. We've a message from someone who is adopted and doesn't know their family history, and they want to know, can they get a scope without having symptoms of bowel cancer? What happens in those cases?
Yeah, I've come across that a few times. I mean, I think that's a very good question. I think they should discuss it with their GP, and if they have specific concerns, there's a stool sample that can be done, for example, to check for occult blood. So many GPs will have access to that. You know, routine blood tests. But I think most bowel cancers, are not associated with a family history. That would be a strong family history, a genetic condition. That would not be, most cases are what we call sporadic. So if they're otherwise fit and healthy, absolutely no symptoms. If a stool sample was negative, blood tests were normal, you know, I wouldn't be overly concerned.
Okay. Another one, can you tell me, in bowel screening, can cancer be detected in the sample if no blood is present in the stool?
So that would be what's called a false negative result. So as we know, no screening program, no screening test, no test. Even a colonoscopy is not an absolutely perfect test. So sometimes you can have a false negative test. Now, the bowel screen test does repeat itself. You're invited back every 2 years. But if you have concerns because you've maybe symptoms and you've had a negative bowel screen and you have some concerns, I would definitely talk to the GP. No screening test is 100% perfect, but it is the sensitivity of it is very good.
Okay, but if you're not feeling 100% about it and you have concerns, go back.
Absolutely, to the GP.
This listener asks, does a vegetarian cause continuous loose bowel movements or diarrhoea? There's a history of bowel cancer in this person's family. I've had 5 yearly colonoscopy screenings done.
Right. Yes, absolutely. But they're doing the right thing. If they're vegetarian and eating lots of fibre, that's very good for our gut health in general. But certainly if you've a diet that's very high in fibre, that will increase stool frequency for most people.
So not a cause for concern. No, person's being very well monitored.
Absolutely. And we realise now that historically we've probably been overscoping people. So now, you know, if you have a colonoscopy and you've no polyps at all, polyps are a little benign growths that are the precursors of cancers. If you've had an entirely normal colonoscopy, 5 yearly colonoscopy is actually very, you know, that's plenty frequent. We would actually recommend a scope could be extended for 10 years if you've had no polyps on a previous one.
Someone wants to know why the bowel cancer screening stops at 69. I'm sure you'd like it to carry on
Absolutely.
Past 69.
Yeah. I mean, these are statistical things. I mean, I think in an ideal world, we'd start younger and we'd continue it older, but we're looking at resources. And actually, what has also been shown, though, if you have a scope done and you've a normal colonoscopy or a normal bowel screen, it does reduce the risk of subsequent cancer also in the future. So these things don't develop quickly. But we may, as people are aging more healthily and they're, you know, we've got very healthy older people, that may well be extended outwards as well in the future.
Another listener wants to know, they have an excessive gas issue, which they say is very embarrassing. I would like to know if there's something they can do about that. Is that ever a sign that you might have an issue?
I mean, any digestive symptom essentially like that can be, but it wouldn't be the most common one. But there are many, many different causes of that. It could be diet related, maybe related to the mix of bacteria in their gut, for example. But if it's a change and it's different from them, particularly if it's an older person, I would mention it to the GP.
Okay. My husband has ulcerative colitis. Mm-hmm. Recently, it has progressed much further into the bowel than when it was first diagnosed a couple of years ago. It's causing extreme pain and discomfort. He's lost a considerable amount of weight over the last few months, but he is going through treatment to try to get it back under control. Mm-hmm. My question, which is always on my mind, is will he be prone to the possibility of bowel cancer in the future on the back of that diagnosis?
I mean, people with inflammatory bowel disease do have a slightly increased risk of bowel cancer. But that risk is primarily related to their disease being poorly controlled. And a lot of the figures we have regarding risk of bowel cancer in people with colitis are sort of historical, going back, people who've had it 30, 40 years when treatments weren't as good. And what we do know is that the better the disease is under control, so this is difficult at the moment, so his disease isn't under control, but we do have really good treatments and we've many different options now. So, you know, there'd still be a very good chance that whoever is looking after him will get his colitis under control. And once somebody, their disease is under control, you know, the risk is, and these things don't happen quickly. We're looking at a lifetime risk with people with ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. So the better the control, the lower the risk of bowel cancer over a long period of time. But the other thing is when somebody has got colitis or Crohn's and they're attending a centre that looks after that, after they've had the disease for a certain number of years, like 10, 15 years, we would start performing regular what's called surveillance colonoscopies to check for the development of any abnormal cells in the same way as you would, you know, with many different conditions. So it's not that we just go, oh, we leave it. We don't. We would constantly, every few years, according to very, very well-defined criteria, you know, do a surveillance colonoscopy to check for the development.
So he's going to be well monitored.
He is going, absolutely. Yeah.
So coming back to the fact that it is Bowel Cancer Awareness Month, you want people to be aware of the symptoms.
Yes.
Any changes, go to their GP. Mm-hmm. And if they're eligible for screening, to use it.
Absolutely. I mean, the uptake at the moment is just over 45%. It would be fantastic if that could be brought, you know, up towards 80%, 90%. That would be fantastic.
Barbara, it's always great to have you
here.
Thanks for taking all of those questions for us. That's Professor Barbara Ryan, who's a consultant gastroenterologist. If you've any concerns about anything you heard during the course of our chat, chat there, please go to rte.ie/helplines for more information and advice.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.